Don't let life disrupt your zen. With Twinings new Matcha Super Blend, take a moment to recharge your body and mind. The Twinings Master Blenders have carefully crafted the Super Blend's range of green teas and infusions with you in mind. There's over 10 different blends to help keep you feeling great from morning till night. Twinings Super Blends, available at all major supermarkets and at twinings.co.uk. Matcha Super Blend has added manganese, which contributes to normal energy-yielding metabolism.
We're rolling. Hello, my name is Mike Goldman, and welcome to the mic. How can I stuff up in the first 10 seconds?
I don't know. I feel like you're winning at life right now.
Yeah. No, but I did. Like, that was. I forgot what I was going to say.
Your name, usually, like an introduction. Yeah. Who you are, what you do.
We can edit that out. Hi, my name is Mike Goldman. Welcome to On The Mic. It has been a while. I haven't done a show for a while.
Have you?
Yeah, that's probably why I'm forgetting what the hell I'm doing. This beautiful girl next to me is the amazing Michelle Stevenson. She is the national news director for Nova, and you hear her every day on the show with Kate, Tim and Marty. Goes out to millions of people.
Yeah, well, like just a casual 1.5 million Australia-wide.
The number one drive show in Australia. Yeah. That's incredible. And I'm related to Kate, so I'm always going to promote that.
Are you really?
She told me.
She came
up to me at the ACRAs one year, which is a radio industry awards. Hey, Mikey, you know we're related? I'm like, what? Do you want to borrow money or something? What's this all about?
Yeah, I'm sure she wants to borrow money off you. How are you related? I'm intrigued.
It's like her family married my family in Walgett or somewhere out in the Tamworth area, because that's where a lot of the Goldmans are from. And so distant country cousins we are.
There you go. I'll be sure to mention that when I see her today.
And Marty and I were engaged for a while, but I don't want to go into that.
But now he's lost some weight and he's moved on.
He does. He looks amazing.
He looks amazing.
He's looking pretty good.
I know.
But that's not all you do. You do an amazing amount of stuff. You even lecture to young upcoming journalists.
I try
as well.
At Maclay College for lecture journalism. Specifically radio, because that's what I do. Mm. But yeah, when I'm not doing that, I'm doing Today Extra, Today Show, Weekend Today.
Oh, yes. You know. I actually saw, we have a little thing we could do called The Last Post. I may as well do it now. Your last post on Instagram.
I know. My last post was a picture of me with the crew on Today Extra. I was on with Richard Wilkins and David Campbell, and it was exceptional.
I love those guys. Do you know, I got my start in radio when I was 13 with Richard Wilkins.
Oh my gosh.
He was running the promotions department at Today FM.
That's brilliant.
And my dad, Grant Goldman, was on The Breakfast Show. Yeah. And Richard reprimanded me for stealing pencils and taking them to school.
I can't imagine him reprimanding anyone. But yeah, you can hear him on Smooth FM. Well, both him and David Campbell are on Smooth FM, which is, you know, part of the Nova Entertainment
brand.
They're
media institutions, yes. Those guys. With Sonia Kruger on the show. I love Sonia, obviously.
Oh,
worked with her as well many a time. And I love your podcast as well.
Yes, who doesn't love politics? It's kind of taken a break, but we're going to bring it back, especially as we're heading into a federal election. And a New South Wales state election. So there's lots to talk about.
There is so much to talk about. And that's what I want to talk about today. I mean, just had the State of the Union with Donald Trump. I want to talk about Clive Palmer, and he's spending something like $50 million on advertising and marketing. He's bought up all the billboards around every major city, which is with the same picture of him going, hey, make Australia great again. A lot of the news services, I've heard them doing stories about the fact that he's spamming everyone, and none of them seem to understand, and they can't come to a conclusion as to why they think he's doing it, but I have a theory.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that. We want to talk about ScoMo, the Stephen Bradbury of politics, because everyone fell over and he's just got the job now.
I call him the daggy dad of politics. He's the daggy dad of politics.
Let's start with ScoMo the mofo. Like, seriously, he's just like a deer in the headlights. Has he actually got a chance?
Has he got a chance? No, he definitely doesn't. I don't think, we all know that the current government is not going to be in the next election. I can safely say that, I'm pretty sure.
Well, when they're spending so much time and money just photoshopping one of his sneakers to make it look perfect.
Yeah.
And they're panicking about those tiny little things.
And it's so funny, like, you know how Bill Shorten likes to get out there in vests, like work vests, and get on job construction sites. And then you had Tony Abbott, who was a bit partial to an onion. You've got ScoMo there, always around rocking the rugby league Cronulla Sharks hat.
And he still loves the promo. I mean, remember when he walked into Parliament holding some coal?
Oh, loves a promo. And Cole, I mean, Cole is the future. Mm. I don't understand why people aren't getting their heads around this. Cole is absolutely the future.
Well, it's the future for a certain amount of time. Like,
Not the future.
I've got a few friends who work in the Cole industry, and my dad has a national radio show, goes out to a lot of regional country areas on 2SM. Shane Davey, the editor of Coalface magazine, we regularly talk about this. And I mean, I'm someone who, you know, believes in solar energy and believe, you know, all of the amazing fantasies about it, that maybe one day that we could actually have solar energy and all sorts of different and thermal energy. There's so many different ways that you can do it. Like my friend's place where I'm staying at the moment in Sydney, like it's this huge apartment block, but it's all off the grid. And he's actually getting a check.
See, now that's amazing.
Every month from the electricity company because it's creating so much energy. Mind you, it's a big place and it's only him and his wife who live there. But I think at the moment we're being left behind.
Yeah, 100%. And I think what we need to look at it is like a more of a holistic approach. If you look at like medicine and, you know, if we go to a naturopath or we go to a doctor, it's like combining the two. I think we can do that with renewables and with coal. Mm. I don't think we need to get rid of coal completely, but I do think we need to have some strategies for how we're going to move forward because it isn't going to be here forever. Mm-hmm. Gas also, we have a real thing with gas. We export more than we consume, which is a bit of a problem. We're not thinking long term, I don't think. Mm. So what's going to happen is we've committed to export a large percentage of the gas that we produce. Meanwhile, we don't have enough for our own homes. Mm. So it's shooting our own prices up.
Prices are going through the roof. When we're sending stuff overseas and they're paying less than we are here.
It's
ours coming out of our ground.
Yes. But the problem is it hasn't been regulated fully. So, you know, we've got these companies that are coming in and taking our natural resources, selling them for a massive profit, barely paying any tax. Mm. I mean, this was what the whole mining royalties tax was about, which for some reason did not get through. And I don't understand why the public didn't get on board with this. Mm. But, you know, these companies are making massive profits on essentially resources that should be shared.
Not only that, I mean, rather than making money for other countries, like we sell our coal at $40 to $100 a ton, and then the Japanese sell it back to other countries for $20,000 a ton.
It doesn't make sense.
This is one of the things that Clive Palmer's talking about doing at the moment. I mean, he obviously knows a bit about mining.
Yep.
He's had a few mines. Some worked, some didn't. But he said, why don't we have industries in New South Wales, Victoria, South Australia that actually do all the refining and you know, use those materials and then sell it overseas rather than the Japanese making $20,000 a ton and us only making $20 a ton.
Yeah, it absolutely makes no sense. I think there's a whole bunch of things that we need to look at. It's a similar situation to the whole lamb. Like, you know, when we were sending the sheep overseas because we're sending them live exports. You know, if we looked at what, say, New Zealand does, they disseminate and they dissect the lamb before they send them over and make more of a profit, and then there's not that issue of like live sheep exports.
Well, I mean, it comes down to certain religions that have to have it live so they can see it being killed facing the north, standing on one leg and only eating
and
a certain food.
I understand that, but like maybe get them from somewhere else. It's really
But that's a money thing, because like people that are sending over, they don't care about the animal.
No,
they're like, okay, we'll just send it overseas and we get more money for doing it that way. But that's where we, you know, gotta have a little bit of a heart. These are living things.
Yeah.
Sure, some of us eat them, some of us don't.
And I don't think the issue is that, you know, they're going to be live, going to be slaughtered over there. It's how they're done,
transport.
How it's done. It's the transport of it. It's like, you know, these are things that we need to start paying attention to, I think.
Karen's trying to stop that, I think.
Karen Phelps. Yeah. I mean, Karen Phelps is a fabulous woman. I had her on my show in the lead up to that by-election, which was very fascinating. And I have to say, Dave Sharma as well was quite impressive. Mm. He just was the wrong
Do you think
side.
Dave Sharma would have had more of a chance if ScoMo just shut up and didn't say things to try and bribe the Jewish people in the electorate?
Yeah.
There are a lot of Jewish people in the eastern suburbs, like, oh, I'm going to move the Australian embassy here in Israel. No, I'm going to move it here. I mean, it's like he didn't even know where he's going to move it.
That was a real problem. And he wasn't really speaking to the Jewish community because, you know, he'd done it like too late. Most of them had done their postal votes. But I think Dave Sharma has a lot to say and offer. And, you know, I spoke to him briefly about climate change. Mm. I think the big thing at the moment is the coalition is not attacking climate change. Yeah. They're saying, yeah, we kind of believe in it, but they're not really offering a solution. And we need policy, and we need to be driven by policy. And I think Dave Sharma had some ideas about that. And they kind of contradicted, I think, the coalition's stand on it. So
well,
I found that interesting.
That's the thing I'm finding, and a lot of people are frustrated with the Liberal and Labor government, you know, running a Westminster system format that's been around since Captain Cook days. All it is like, I think this, I'm going to argue it. I think this, I'm going to argue it. Because they all just want to be in charge and they all want power. Yeah. That's why, you know, along comes someone, I guess, in the US like Trump who has nothing to do with politics. He's just a businessman, like him or hate him. He had a reality show, so everyone knows who he is. Yeah. And ends up getting in. There's a lot more to it than that. But could we see someone like Clive Palmer being our next prime minister, and making Australia great again? Because he's someone that's coming in with fresh, new, innovative ideas. They're not arguing with Clive Palmer on anything that he says. They're ignoring him.
Yep.
And they're just saying, oh, we just wish Clive Palmer would pay back the millions of dollars he owes to the people in the nickel refinery.
Well, look, the nickel refinery stuff isn't great, and I do think that needs to be rectified. And I do think there are some underhanded dealings that went on there, mostly to do with his nephew.
Yeah, his nephew's
Clive
on the run
Mintz,
or something.
Who's on the run, who's apparently
sick. He doesn't even
know
where he is.
He can't travel because
he's
Clive,
sick. Well, Clive wasn't running the company, but he was on the board.
Yeah.
Because he was in Parliament at the time, because I did a little bit of digging, and the only stories I can seem to get on it are anyone else in opposition to Clive or doesn't like him saying horrible things about him that he owes millions of dollars. And you go back a few years ago and all the newspapers are just saying the obvious. His nephew ran away and they can't find him and he owes all this money.
And look, Clive did withdraw money from the company while it was going under. So I think that's kind of the issue. And the problem is a lot of people lost superannuation and, you know, important stuff like that. Mm. So it did kind of affect, you know, the average person who was working at the mine at the time.
Well, I was looking at his Make Australia Great Again party. What's he call it? He stole the name of a party that was around years ago.
It's similar to like Pauline Hanson's, you know, one nation.
The United Australia party.
Yeah, that's it. United Australia.
The UAP. and so he's in his policies. I was just checking him out last night when I'd had one too many wines. So forgive me if I get this a little bit wrong, but he was basically saying that in his policies that the government needs to help businesses that are going under so that we can keep people in work. So he's obviously talking about the nickel mine and getting money from the government, which I was catching a vibe that maybe that was going to happen when he wanted to close it down, because like any businessman, if something's not making money, you want to close it down.
Yep.
Government was supposed to bail him out. Oh, no, you have political aspirations? Stick it up your ass, mate. So now he's gone, all right, this is war. And he decided to take on every single seat in the upper and lower house next election.
To be honest, I love Clive Palmer. I think he is that kind of Trump figure. Mm. And Trump, whether you love him or hate him, he's been a breath of fresh air. And as a journalist, he just gives me content day and night. Mm. Clive Palmer does as well. There have been the odd times, though, where Palmer has spoken and he's made absolute sense.
Yeah, like and he says like, so many things.
He does.
That makes sense. Like who doesn't want a fast train? Like
everyone,
how long have they been talking about that?
This. I know.
And you know what else? Something that we don't do in Australia that they do in the US that seems to work quite well. If you live in regional areas, you pay less tax.
Right.
And we're constantly complaining about not having people moving to regional areas when they come here as new immigrants. Hey, why don't you live in Tamworth? It's an amazing place. They're even talking about making it law that you have to move there for at least the first year that you're here. So why not make them pay less tax? They're not using the infrastructure that we have
in the
capital cities.
And that makes complete sense.
Like even Vegas. I think Vegas, you pay less tax living there as opposed to living in New York or LA.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they do have stuff like that. I mean, the system, America is run very differently to Australia. Like each state is kind of like its own country, which is so bizarre to me. So, you know, the fact that California can tackle climate change on its own, but then other states can't, it's very bizarre.
But get this, like he also said, anyone who's a first home buyer gets $10,000 off their home loan as a tax deduction. Every year.
Amazing. I mean...
That's going to help.
I mean, there is such
an
issue
with that. Why don't we have our politicians saying innovative stuff like that?
Because our politicians are feeding the people who pay them, essentially, who are the donors. They basically speak for a portion of society who have a lot of money, who really want to feed the policies that continue to support their lifestyle. I mean, if you look at the franking, the whole conversation about franking, which is kind of, I don't know if you're across it, but this whole...
Yeah, who's Frankie?
So... this whole franking conversation about, you know, self-funded retirees, how Labor wants to get rid of that. I mean, this is a really fascinating and a good example of the rich instituting something that no other country has and does not make sense. So basically, you've got self-funded retirees who are getting taxed back on dividends that they never paid for. So it's like, it's really bizarre. So they're getting taxed back for something that never really, they'd never paid tax on. Mm. So it's just like this really confusing thing that's been there.
Well, let me just mention another Clive Palmer thing. I was talking about Red last night. Is he wants to raise the pension by $150 a fortnight.
I think it should be raised.
That money is just going to come back into the country. And if I sound like I'm running for the Palmer Party.
Maybe you are.
But I'm
he'll
not.
He'll get you on board.
I'm friends with Mrs. Palmer and her $5. That's about it.
Yeah.
But Clive Palmer, you know what? I'm just saying what he says on his website. And if he actually came through with this stuff, then great. But he was saying something along the lines of, you know, if the retirees are on a pension, they're getting $150 more every 2 weeks, it's going to go back into the economy. And the facts on there, here's a lot of facts for different countries and how much people get on the pension in other countries. We're one of the lowest in the world.
Yeah, we are. The thing is, it's really tough because we do have a massive, like the baby boomers kind of, you know, they're starting to retire. And the worst thing was they didn't really contribute a lot to money-wise and didn't really support themselves. They didn't have superannuation. Mm. So, you know, we have to find the money to support them, and that's kind of where the issue is. I don't have a problem giving them more money. What I have an issue with is a lot of them are sitting on assets. Mm. So a lot of them are asset rich because, you know, they're able to buy houses.
You cut the mattress and it's got so much cash in there, they just don't spend it. Get out there and spend it, you crazy oldies. Because they're panicking about everything.
Yeah, but they were able to buy houses when they were like $12,000. Yeah. And then now they're worth like $2.5 million, and you know they're getting pensions from the government, but they've got $2.5 million houses. So I do think that maybe we need to start looking at assets as well in that.
Mm. Yeah, did you get that, Clive? You take some notes, buddy, and I want to see the Titanic as well. Everyone in Australia gets a free ride on it when you finish the Titanic, and free rounds of golf once a year at your dinosaur golf course.
I want the
on
dinosaur.
The Sunshine Coast.
Didn't you get rid of that? Because
I think it's still there.
Collapsed. I thought it just fell apart.
I reckon it's a mistake. You must have told the people building it, I just want something for the miners, and they thought you meant little kids, so they put dinosaurs over it. No, the miners to play golf. You bloody idiots. No one's going to come here with dinosaurs everywhere. Try to hit balls. Does that sound like Clive Palmer? I don't know if it does.
That's really good. That's really good.
Yeah, okay. So when is this election? Is it coming up in May? I mean, ScoMo was on the Today Show the other day saying it's May. I told everyone it's May and everyone's like, did he tell you?
No, he didn't. He didn't tell anyone. It is looking like it's going to be May. I mean, what an interesting statistic is that the federal government would have only sat for 2 weeks in 8 months. So it's like, I don't know what they're doing, but they're not doing their jobs. So yes, the federal election is coming up. It's going to be an interesting one. I mean, Bill Shorten, he's doing the right thing. He's not really speaking much.
Yeah, it's like, Bill, shut up. If you talk, we're going to lose.
Yeah.
They've done so badly that if you just start talking, then you might be on the same playing field
but
as them.
I do feel like he's really smart in the fact that he hasn't spoken. Yeah. And, you know, there have been times where he's just made Tanya Plibersek speak, and she's great and people like her, and she's got a real following as well.
Geez, Tony Abbott cops it, doesn't he? Like, he's got Get Up campaigning and door knocking in his electorate. Who's he running up against now? It's like a famous swimmer or athlete or someone like that.
No.
Can't remember.
Maybe. Yeah. But I think, look, I don't have a lot of love for that man. And I think the majority of the issues that we have now are Tony Abbott, and mostly because he could not check his ego. Mm. He wanted to get back at, you know, the sitting PM at the time, no matter how badly it affected the government. And now we're seeing the fallout from that. So the government have no one to blame but themselves.
Actually, I hosted an event with Tony Abbott. It was a fundraiser. on the North Shore. I just remembered. I don't know why, I just wanted to tell you. Anyway, I had to introduce him and just, you know, say he had to read all the stuff. You know, he's a volunteer firefighter, volunteer surf lifesaving member. He's done all these great things in Parliament as the Prime Minister. He stopped the boats. I've read it all. And then when I got to the end, we're in a Japanese restaurant downstairs from the Manly Pacific International.
Yeah.
They're bringing out all these boats with Japanese food. And I wait, stop the boats. Tony Abbott's here. He's promised to stop the boats. But, you know, he got up there and just, he cracked jokes and he won the crowd over. And
yeah.
It seemed like he's reinvented himself in a lot of ways, and he wasn't as serious and he wasn't taking himself seriously. Because, like what you said about him, you know, he couldn't check his ego. I think maybe he said some professionals say, hey, dude, you need to check your ego here.
Yeah.
And it looked like he had.
Well, but from what I hear and everything I've heard from other journalists and from people who've worked with him, he's amazing. They love him. They said he's personable, he's likable, he's, you know, he is all those things. I just think he doesn't transcend into, it doesn't come across.
Not very progressive, not about the future. And, you know, like, he was against gay marriage and
which is so bizarre to me considering his sister. So it's all very, very bizarre.
Is he representing his electorate? I mean, was it 40% of them still voted that way?
And, you know, a lot of Labor people weren't representing their electorate either, because they were running in seats that were anti-gay marriage. So it's really interesting. I think politics is in an interesting cycle. Mm. I think we're hopefully going to see some change.
Is democracy failing? I mean, look what's happened in the UK with Brexit, with, you know, Trump, and things are such a mess over there in the US. Well, they're saying it's a mess. When you ask Trump, everything's awesome. In Australia, you know, we have a new prime minister, what, every 2 years, is it?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Is that because democracy stopped? and surely, like, you know, the heads of, you know, Vladimir Putin in Russia and you know, the king of China, the president of China, well, I don't know what his name is, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But surely they go, okay, we'll just wait till the election until we just shuffle a few things around and put up a few more, you know, spy towers. They're not going to notice it. They're too worried about their own stuff.
And it's so true. A lot of things happen when, it's like smoke and mirrors. Like, they're like, look what's happening over here, while over here we're not noticing that they're infringing on a few of our rights, and, like, you know, they're chopping down a few more trees, and, you know, they're digging more mines. Mm. But I do think we're getting savvier. The Australian public, for some reason, like Labor, when Labor was in before the whole turnover to the coalition, Labor were doing some pretty amazing things, and we were doing well. And I don't want to say I'm not on either side.
You said we though.
We as Labor? Australia. No, but, you know, they were getting a lot done, and the economy was booming. But we did. For some reason, Australians love to just have change, and it doesn't necessarily mean for the better.
Do you think people around the world, it's not necessarily the fact that democracy might be failing a bit, but people are just more woke, so to speak.
Yes.
People getting facts and getting annoyed easier because they're finding out shit where normally it just sort of went under the carpet.
Well, I do think, you know, we're in a period
under
where
the
people...
Under the radar?
Under the carpet.
Under the carpet. Flying under the carpet.
I'm flying under the radar.
It was swept under the rug.
Okay.
And flying under the radar.
We got it.
Swept under the...
Yeah, you got it. I think people are more woke, but I also think there is this... Well, we can get into this whole thing about fake news, but I think people have access to more information. Whether that information is correct or not, my only issue, and, you know, there's a whole reason why I listen to people that I don't necessarily agree with. Like, I will always listen to Andrew Bolt, I'll read Miranda Devine, and, you know, there are times where I absolutely agree with what they're saying, and there are times where I don't. I just think that we don't challenge ourselves as much as we should. We should be reading the things we don't agree with. We should be watching the things we don't agree with, because too often we try to gravitate towards people that agree with us, and
I think that's what's challenging us. Every day I actually try to go and read things that I don't agree with, and, you know, go and like, you know, read different newspapers that I wouldn't normally pick up, just because I want to see what the other half are thinking. Because for a long time, people are just getting their news off Facebook, and really a lot of the time it's just the algorithms repeating, and you're getting exactly the same stuff, and it's an echo chamber, and they can see if you're disagreeing with stuff, and they just won't let you see it anymore, and you think, oh, I'm like everyone else, but you're not. Once you get out there in the real world and people are different to you, then it's just turning everyone against each other.
Yeah, and that's kind of like part of my job as a news reader and a news director. It's like, you know, we have to do the news that doesn't necessarily represent my thinking or where I live, but it has to represent, you know, Australians as a whole, and that is always a challenge with journalists. But
it just has to be facts. You have to try and stick to the facts as much as you can,
which is tough, because I do feel like there's this fine line between journalism and opinion, and you know, a lot of people question what Alan Jones says because sometimes he delivers it as fact and sometimes it's not so
But he's
fact.
Making an apology almost every week on his radio show for stuffing something up lately.
Yeah, and, you know, he's coming at the end of his contract. Who knows what's going to happen at the end?
But doesn't he own most of the station?
He owns
a big share of the station.
Yeah,
and then they ended up buying 2UE. This is 2GB in Sydney, the number one talkback station.
Yeah.
And they bought the other talkback station and they basically cut off its balls and neutered it by turning it into a sports station.
But 2UE wasn't doing well anyway. Yeah. I mean, once the competition kind of like dwindled with that, which is such a shame because they were both really great stations in their heyday.
All very opinionated, I guess, right wing in the majority of them on those on those radio stations. And so what we're sort of trying to get to a little bit there was how does someone in your position, you know, running the newsroom and overseeing, you know, news that essentially goes out to millions of people every day, you see stuff come through the fax machine or on email or whatever and you go, hang on a minute, how many facts are actually here? Because if we get this wrong, we're going to be on the news later tonight for stuffing it up.
And, you know, it's very interesting because people are always like, where do you get your news from? Like, it's like this whole, like, where does it come from? We rely on a multitude of sources. Twitter's a big one. I know people are probably rolling their eyes, but as a journalist, you rely on Twitter a lot for breaking news because you follow people that you trust. So I get a lot of news from that. And, you know, newspapers and a whole multitude of sources, we're always like looking
at. You just got to fact check. And I guess if you're going to a whole heap of different sources and they're all saying the same thing, then that's news. Like
and
last night,
it's about
I was
trusting your source as
last
well.
Last night, I was on Facebook and I saw someone post. Hi, Henrik. I saw him post something about the Red Cross had $500 million for people in Haiti and they only built 6 houses. This is pathetic. And I'm like, that's not true. You've seen that somewhere and it's an ad click page. And I went and looked. It's everywhere.
Oh, right.
6 houses. $500 million, Red Cross. What the hell? So, I mean, how come we're not hearing stories like that?
Yeah.
Or seeing stuff like that on the news?
I quite often get asked these questions. Like, how come you're not saying this? Like, it's this big conspiracy. Or the media. Like, the media, there's this big conspiracy to not tell people everything or the truth. I can tell you honestly, we give the news that people want to hear.
Mm.
If you wanted to hear those stories, I would 100% run them. But no one really wants to hear them. They want to know the backbiting that's going on in politics. They want to know the death and the destruction. That's kind of what no one wants, happy stories.
Well, I mean, if I'm walking down the street now and a backpacker who's getting a share of the money that they get off me for the Red Cross starts hitting me up and cracking jokes, oh, here he comes, g'day governor, how you going, how you like to make it, though, I'll be saying fuck off.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you should go and look at who you're working for. I'm sure they do a lot of good work, but I mean, that's
but
not...
But a lot of these charities aren't held accountable for a lot of that stuff as well. Like, they get massive tax breaks. They basically run themselves like... So the large portion of that money probably went to, you know, lighting, offices, paying
business
people's
class flights.
Yeah, you know
what I
mean?
Well, that's why Charlie Teo, you know, he left his own organisation because people are flying business class flights and having expensive offices and paying him hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And he's like... We don't need this many people. We're trying to cure brain cancer here.
Yep.
We only need an office with a small amount of people. We don't need to be flying everywhere and throwing these stupid parties and taking 90% of the money.
And that's what a lot of these charities do. Like I'm on the Starball committee for Sydney, like for the Starlight Foundation, and we do the Starball every year in Sydney. And I can tell you that pretty much the majority of that stuff goes to kids. You see them. You're like, you can buy a wish for a child and then you see that wish come into fruition. So it's just about knowing a lot about what those places stand for. And some of these charities aren't necessarily good.
Right. Phone off. Mirror check. Get out there and glow. With Twinings new Glow Super Blend, feel great from the inside out. A tasty strawberry and cucumber flavoured green tea with aloe vera and added biotin. The Twinings Master Blenders have carefully crafted the Super Blend's range of green teas and infusions with you in mind. There's over 10 different blends to help keep you feeling great from morning till night. Twinings Super Blends, available at all major supermarkets and at twinings.co.uk. Glow has added biotin, which contributes to the maintenance of normal skin and hair.
As well.
Like I was saying before, you know, people are just waking up and they're realizing stuff and they're seeing news and it's good to give people an insight into how you get your news every day because, like you said, people ask you that a lot. And last night I was, you know, looking at the latest news from the US, and you know, I look at everything from InfoWars to BuzzFeed or wherever to get all the different angles, like we were saying. But apparently, I got this last night. There was this law, which was the Countering Foreign Propaganda and Disinformation Act, that was signed by Obama 2 years ago, and it put $160 million in the kitty to basically stop disinformation and foreign propaganda. But what a lot of people are saying, and I guess you could call this a conspiracy theory, InfoWars said it's true.
Yeah, so it must conspiracy.
But Alex Jones going conspiracy vibe, but a lot of people have just been laid off on BuzzFeed and Vice and a lot of very left-wing media that would always be against Trump. So but is that where that money was going?
But do you think they're left-wing because they're against Trump? Or are they just maybe just telling the truth? Trump says a lot of mistruths and they call him out on it. Does that mean they're left-wing? They could be skewed a little left of center, but you know, it's interesting. When I was doing my master's in journalism, I did a thesis and I looked at 2GB versus ABC and I looked at their news and whether they were right-wing or left-wing. And what I found was that ABC ran more right-wing stories than 2GB News did. So it's like we have this perception.
That's interesting. Yeah, the perception is the other way.
We have this perception that, you know, ABC's left, 2GB's right, but it's not necessarily the case. I think that BuzzFeed do some amazing work. New York Times do it. Washington Post do some amazing work. Do I think that there's this big conspiracy theory? I'm not a big conspiracy theorist. I think everything is going to be found out. It's like, you know, the people, the anti-vaxxers. I've heard some really great conspiracy theories. But I think inevitably, if there was this massive conspiracy theory, we would know about it.
Well, I mean, that whole vaccine thing, that's another topic. We probably need a doctor to jump in on that. But don't go to Byron Bay with your kid. You're going to catch something.
Or Sydney's East. Like Sydney's
is
East.
Really?
Yeah,
just
Sydney's
as bad
East.
Now.
It's because it's all the rich people who go, I don't need to do that.
I need to do that. Are you going to give my kid some sort of weird rash and brain disorder? Forget about it.
Yeah.
There you go. Just people reading lots of information, but I guess not getting the right stuff.
Yep.
Okay, so there's something else that I wanted to ask you about. Which was very important, and I've completely forgot about it.
State of the Union?
Oh, yes, State of the Union. Yeah, because we're talking about Trump. So Trump had his State of the Union the other day, and it was put off for ages because
he shut
the government down. Nancy Pelosi said, you can't do the State of the Union because, you know, you've shut down the government. Yep. He said, all right, you can't fly to Afghanistan on your little trip to go and visit the troops. And it was all tit for tat.
Yep.
But she was up there applauding him for the State of the Union the other day, but I don't know if it was an applause.
I think if sarcasm was a clap, that would have been
was
it.
The clap that you give your little kid when he came last in the race.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
So, yeah, you got to give him a bit of encouragement because you've got to live with him.
When she was clapping, it was like when he mentioned the whole women in Congress and how there's more women in Congress. I felt like he kind of took ownership of that, like it was him. But, you know, there's a lot of people kind of think, well, you know, there's more women in Congress because they got activated because you were running for president.
He did play it like it was him. Oh, you'll be ready for this. I'm going to give you something. He's just saying facts, and they were like all dressed in white. They haven't been actually. Roger Stone tweeted the other day. He's actually early this morning. He said, "I haven't seen that many Democrats in white since they started the Ku Klux Klan."
I know it was horrible. I know it was, but they looked amazing, and I felt like, you know, they did make a statement. And what was interesting was Trump's daughter, the one that no one talks about. You know, Trump's daughter that, you know, likes to party. I can't think of her
Ivanka?
Name at the moment. No, the other one. There's another daughter.
Oh, there's a party daughter.
There's a party daughter, and she was there, and she was dressed in white. So
party
it was very
Trump,
ironic. Party Trump. She's a party Trump. Look her up.
You can buy her as a doll, a Barbie doll. Like, it's party Trump. It's available now in stores. But yeah, so he had half the House standing up, obviously, all the Republicans and cheering. And at the start, it looked like the Democrats, you know, thought even Bernie Sanders is up clapping, and they were doing that 5 minute clap. And by the time a minute goes by, they're not sure what they were clapping for.
Yeah,
I think it's just a big American hype pump up thing.
Yeah, like they're kind of shouting USA, USA. It's bizarre to me. But, you know, Trump did some crackers during the speech, made some crazy claims. But one of my favorites was when he, which was great, he named the time and the date and the place of his next meeting with Kim Jong-un, the North Korean leader. And
in Vietnam or somewhere, is it?
In Vietnam, February 27 and 28. And then he said, he goes, you know, if it wasn't for me, we would 100% be at war with North Korea. And I felt like saying, you kind of like were edging America closer to that war by calling him Rocket Man and crazy names. So,
but that's all in his book, like How to Make a Deal or The Art of Making a Deal.
You just put bucket loads
of shit on him.
Yeah.
And then you go, okay, let's have a meeting. And they go, oh, well, okay, I guess we better sort this out.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they'll come to the table and it's just his weird way of dealing with people. And I mean, I do think that if Hillary Clinton got in, we'd probably be at war with Iran.
Yeah.
I mean, she said that that America would be at war with Iran if she was in.
Well, look, I don't think Trump has done all bad things. I think, you know, he is a man of his word. He does the things. The whole wall scenario kind of gets me, and he used some shocking examples as to why we need to get a war. And he basically said how the southern border is, you know, it's dire, like we really need to sort this out, and kind of scared people into it, and was talking about, you know, illegal aliens murdering
Was that Albuquerque or where was he? New Mexico or somewhere? There's this, the worst city in America, but now it's one of the best because they put a wall up.
Yeah. So he really focused on the wall and how they were going to make that happen. But what did he talk about? Gun control? Not a word. Did he talk about, you know, climate change? Not at all. I mean, guns, Americans kill more Americans than terrorists or illegal aliens. Like it's mind-boggling to me that he can be so for something and then not even look at how guns are a real issue.
He's just making his fans happy because it's the fans said, you're going to build a wall, you got to build that wall now.
And that's what he said. He's like, I'm going to build a wall. And he made that promise. But there were a whole bunch of other things that he kind of went on for a very long time.
Mm, it's like 2 hours or something like that.
Yeah, it was one of the longest.
I did a Clive Palmer in Parliament, fell asleep.
Did you see his son? His son was actually sleeping. His youngest son was asleep in the seat.
Is he going to grow up to be a serial killer or what?
I hope he's okay. I mean, and the whole fact that his wife, Melania, it's like Weekend in Bernie's. Is she alive? I feel like knocking and going, hello, you in there?
She got a good round of applause last night at the State of the Union.
Yeah, because she hasn't been seen for like months. So we don't even know if that's her. It could be a robot. We don't know.
Are they still in love? That's the question. Do they still do it? Put that little picture in your head. Do they do it with the lights out?
I can't even.
Is he still paying for the whole Stormy Daniels thing?
Yeah, 100%.
She's still bringing it up at the dinner
table?
Stormy
Daniels, if you need to follow anyone, follow her on Twitter. She is sassy as. It's
hey,
hilarious.
Donald, you want some dinner? You want to eat outside? No, it's a bit stormy. Should we go for a holiday to Mar-a-Lago? No, it looks a bit stormy. We cannot fly. I don't know if that's how she talks. good on her. Yeah, she's you know, someone that's just ended up in the position that she probably never in a million years thought she'd be in. I think she's handling quite well.
Yeah, I do. And look, I do think it was probably a pretty scary position for her to end up in. You know, a former model, and you know, she doesn't have a lot to say, and I do feel bad for her. She always manages to put her foot into it.
Will he get in 2020?
This is going to be tough. I think he has a good shot. I think he creates enough belief that he is making America great again. I think he is a master manipulator, so I do think he might get in.
Well, yesterday he said more women working than ever in America, but that's the population's growing. So I guess there's going to be more women working.
And also, was that true? I mean, if we went and fact-checked...
He just makes stuff up. Yeah.
He basically does.
I can't just say what he said and think it's true.
Yeah, it's like...
Can you do that about any politician, though?
Well, they do here, though. You know, the ABC has that fact-checking thing, and like quite often it's a lot of them are lying.
what about more? You know what? The one thing that I do like about Trump, I mean, there's a few things, but he did something Obama didn't do, and he changed the legislation. I can't remember what it's called.
Yep.
Where if you're a Afro-American person in jail, then you can apply to get out sooner.
Well, there's another thing too that they were trying to vote on in the last lot of elections was that, you know, if you have served time in certain states, when you get out, and no matter how small the crime, if it's like a federal crime,
non-violent,
if you serve time at all, you can't vote ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there's these weird laws that America has that, you know, kind of really haven't progressed. That a lot of the things aren't very progressive. I mean, this is the same country that thinks you have the right to bear arms. I mean, it could have been hot, and they could have been talking about how you can have bare arms, like just take your shirt off. Like, no one knows.
Guns are a problem in America, but that's never going to change. I mean,
that's the lobby.
That's how they got rid of the Brits. by shooting them. When the Brits said, give us back your guns, and they went, nope, and they shot the Brits. And then all of a sudden they had to fight the Indians. Yeah. And then they had to fight each other, the North and the South. And then now they all think they're fighting the deep state.
Yeah.
And there could be civil war again. They're not going to give up their guns.
And I mean, this is the country that gave Osama bin Laden guns and gave, you know, basically was the starting point of ISIL. Like, you know, they were trying to get the Chechens out of Russia. So the CIA trained Osama bin Laden and trained them and gave them guns. And then, you know, created this whole thing.
Mm.
There's this whole theory of thought on September 11th, how it's called blowback. So basically September 11th was a part of a strategy to pay back America on foreign policy issues, things that they've done to other countries.
Mm.
So, you know, they have meddled in other countries' foreign affairs, and now they're kind of feeling the heat.
They're getting
back
it back.
On them. Yeah.
What do you think of him actually pulling out of Syria and pulling out of Afghanistan?
It's really messy, and if you've ever been to these countries, my parents have lived and worked in Saudi Arabia, and I've been to Saudi Arabia. These are countries, like specifically Saudi Arabia, they were nomadic tribes people up until like what the British discovered oil in the 60s.
Yeah.
So they were nomadic tribes people who were like, they still behead people. Like,
yeah.
And we act so shocked, but like they never had that kind of, they were never given the opportunity to develop into, you know, modern culture like we were. They didn't go through.
They're all a bunch of crazy cavemen, and you should just leave them alone.
Not at all.
Seriously,
I do think we're never going to change it. Those things run deep. That hatred and those wars, they run deep. They're tribal.
Leave them alone.
Yeah.
I was in Afghanistan and Iraq. I went over there with Doc Neeson from The Angels to do shows for the troops.
That
probably with me there hosting is probably enough to make you want to kill yourself, let alone the enemy. And they, anyway, I got to know a lot of the troops on the tour, and, you know, they're all doing their thing for the country. They'll go wherever they want to go.
Yep.
But a lot of them said, we don't want to end up being the police here. Like, we'll fight for our country.
Yep.
We'll go and stop people from doing the wrong thing. But don't leave us here for years and years and years to police a country. That's a country's job.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what's happened. The problem is that the US and other countries have decided that the democracy that we live under and we live by needs to be applied to every other country. That doesn't always work. That is,
freedom isn't free. We've got to go and fight for freedom everywhere. Everybody needs freedom, just like us.
But it's so tough. I mean, we do need to find the balance, okay? What makes the world a better place? And, you know, we're seeing mass migration due to a lot of these countries just really, like, you know, murdering their own people. And that is the whole issue with refugees.
Mm.
I mean, if we went to these countries and helped a few of them out, then maybe we wouldn't have the refugee problem. Like, the poor Sudanese, they're just like... And a lot of these refugees are in internment camps for like 10, 15 years with no hopes of leaving.
I'm a big basketball fan, and I just think we need more Sudanese. Not just in Australia, but in the teams.
Great. I know.
Because, I mean, Deng and Deng, yeah. Deng Akuth, there's so many Dengs.
Well,
and they're brilliant basketball players.
Yeah, they are. But we've got, like, look at the refugee Melbourne soccer player, Hakim Al-Arabi, who is now in Thailand and has been there for 2 months because Bahrain believe he committed this crime and they want to take him back, and he's fighting to not go back.
Yeah, fair enough.
And now Scott Morrison is having to get involved. But what a lot of people don't know is the Australian Federal Police tipped Interpol off to let them know he was travelling. So it's kind of, we've got ourselves into our own this sticky mess, and now, you know, we've got a great soccer player who...
But if we can help people get into this country and you know, their country's horrible and it's falling apart, unfortunately, there is a cue that they have to take. But if it's dire circumstances where they're being persecuted because they're a religion, whether they're Muslim or Catholic or whatever, then, and we're saving their lives, then those people should be
it.
Given a rite of passage.
100%.
What do you think of Karen Phelps, obviously, Professor Karen Phelps, saying that, you know, doctors need to be going to Nauru so that they can examine the people there, and then they need to be brought to the mainland, and they're basically being given passage if they're like, I'm sick.
Yeah. And what was very funny too, talking about getting back to Tony Abbott, was his answer to that was, well, we shouldn't let doctors make those decisions because, as we all know, they err on the side of compassion. That was his direct quote. So,
I don't want to go to work today, Doc. Can I please get a prescription? Yeah, sure, man. Here you go. Just pay the Medicare. No problem.
So essentially, they're giving people a trip to Australia as a new age medical certificate.
Yeah. And that's a way for Karen to, you know, I mean, obviously, you kind of, there's no kids on Nauru, apparently,
there is still, I think, about 5 to 10 kids on.
But they're really naughty. I've heard that they haven't been doing their homework.
Yeah.
You know, they don't eat all their greens.
It's a really tough situation because the boats had to stop. Like it was not good.
Yeah, and it's to a certain extent it stopped the people smugglers. But I mean, I've got friends who want to live in Australia who, you know, come out here on their holiday visas and then they've got to go back and they've been applying for years to live here and they just keep getting put back. But people can just jump on a boat or
We have more
people coming on the plane and overstaying their visas.
We have more like Chinese and more Irish overstaying their visas than we do people coming by boat or
It doesn't help when there's, you know, the crime rate in Melbourne and they got, you know, African gangs and that's going to get everyone up in arms and go, oh, there's African gangs. They've got to stop the boats again.
But that to me is a question of that is a failure in our system of helping assimilate. Like we have managed to do it in Sydney.
Yeah.
We have pockets of communities that aren't violent that you know do very well. The only time we've ever had an issue was the Cronulla riots and we got through that. So I do think that is a failure within that government, that state government, of not addressing it and addressing it correctly. I think we need to get people in there and help them. Like, these are people who've literally come from countries where they've been child soldiers. Mm. The only thing they know is how to fight.
Some of the stories are ridiculous. So my stepdad was a federal politician for 30 years, David Joel, absolute legend.
Yeah.
And he, like most federal politicians, would be helping families in their electorate bring their other family members from overseas. And some of the stories that he was hearing a lot of African countries, like one guy, they cut his feet off and held a gun to his head and made him walk through the sand.
Yeah.
Another kid was made to eat his own brother, otherwise they were going to kill him.
It's brutal. Like the
stuff. How do you help people when they had that stuff happen in their life and tell them everything's going to be okay here? We're going to look after you.
Yeah,
I mean, they're going to be a bit skeptical.
But essentially, too, like they come over and they're basically given some money and some housing, and you know, then that's it. Like there's no kind of follow-on support system, which I think is
it's like a rapper that just got a record deal and a whole heap of cash.
Yeah, doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, and then it's all gone. I don't know what to do now.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think we need to get into those communities and provide more support. We don't need to ostracize them more by saying there's issues.
I have an idea.
Okay, go.
Everyone in Australia has to do the under the wing thing.
Yeah.
So what you do
I think that's a great idea.
Is you've got someone who's come from Nauru or you've got someone that's come from another country and then you just got to show them around for a day.
Or you just like...
It can be your Sunday, your day off,
idea.
Once a year.
You could sign up to be a big brother.
Yeah. Oh,
we'll see what I did there.
I'm trying to get the show back, so I do my own little version of it.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Big Brother's finally back. Everyone stop harassing me on my Facebook page. Thank you very much. Hey, well, this has been awesome. I love talking politics with you. You know so much about it, and your show's amazing. Get some more podcasts going.
Okay, I will try and get some more podcasts.
Ron Wilson was great.
Ron Wilson is hilarious.
Dan Illich. Oh, absolute legend. Get him on as well. He knows his politics back to front, kid.
Yeah, so good. We actually had some great guests on. It was a lot of fun. And we are going to bring it back. We are definitely bringing it back.
When? With who? maybe you get me on to talk about how I'm the George Soros of Australian politics and how Karen Phelps has got her seat because of me.
I don't know how you think that is true, but please tell me.
I'll tell you. So what happened was I knew that she needed to get in and everyone said there's not a chance.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I know this Facebook thing pretty well.
Oh, yes.
I reckon I can pump up a couple ads. So I spent like $12.50 on Facebook ads. And the only reason why I'm claiming that she won by like 1,800 votes or something like that.
On preferences, yeah, basically.
Yeah, but even more so it helped then. We had about 15,000 people watch our interview on Facebook, you know, not to mention all the clips.
It was just thousands
on Instagram and stuff like that. And I don't know how many on the audio podcast, but I was talking to a couple of people at the polling booth. And they said, oh, I saw you in the interview with Karen. I said, many people see it. And oh, yeah, we've probably had about 10 different people talk about it today. And I'm like, yes.
I know.
It's my fault.
Okay, so next time you see her, you need to tell her that?
Yeah, and I need to get some sort of a grant. But do they have podcast grants? Because I'm not making any money out of this shit. I mean, really.
Aren't you paying me?
Oh, yes. Oh, you paid for that.
I'll pay
for your parking. You paid for that.
No, I paid for that already.
I guess that's all we got time for.
Damn.
Hey, I can at least promote your Instagram.
I know, Instagram at Michelle Stevenson.
Nice.
_ Stevenson with a PH. Listen to me every day. Nova Entertainment. whatever Nova you are listening to.
Give my love to the family, Kate, Tim and Marty. And,
I will.
And Fitzy and Whipper.
Oh, Fitzy and Whipper. We love a good Fitzy and
Whipper. I miss Fitzy. Friday night games.
I know.
We used to call him Frizy. He was so much fun. He probably still is. I don't know.
He's still a lot of fun. Can confirm.
Yeah, good.
This has been a lot of fun.
Cool, man.
I want to come back.
Let's do it again sometime.
Yeah, 100%.
Love it.
Done.
Michelle Stevenson, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, hey, wait.
What?
Sorry.
Okay.
I forgot to say one thing.
Go.
We're coming to you from Picture Sound Studios. That's Morgan. Morgan,
oh,
quick.
Oh, yes.
Come over here. Morgan has these amazing studios called Picture Sound. They are in Crow's Nest in Sydney, and this is where everyone on the Acast network should come and do their show.
Yeah, I'm going to move in, actually.
And the Nova Studios. Say something.
Hi, everyone.
Isn't she beautiful?
Yeah, she got a nice voice.
She should be on the camera, not behind it.
I know.
Is it bassy? Is it really bassy?
I love it. I could hear you bassy. Talk all the time.
All right. Go Sydney Kings for the finals. Thank you very much, everybody.
What will happen when the UK leaves the EU? Do I need to renew my passport earlier than planned?
I'm an EU citizen living in the UK. How will this affect me?
Will mobile roaming change? How will exporting my goods be affected?
You might also have questions about how leaving the EU on the 29th of March will affect you. Find guidance and up-to-date information at gov.uk/EU exit.